Hello, everyone. I'm Luis, and this is The Debrief, a podcast from Incident.io. So, if you've been keeping up with The Debrief recently, you'd know that last week we published an episode dedicated to our new related incidents feature. This time around, we're sticking with the AI theme, but instead focusing in on suggested summaries. So in this conversation, I sat down with Millie, the project lead for suggested summaries, to get a deeper look into how it all played out. If you enjoyed last week's episode, then I think you'll find this conversation just as insightful. Again, a quick plug, this is the second of four mini episodes dedicated to our AI features. So like I said, we've done related incidents. Today, we're doing suggested summaries. But next week, be on the lookout for our last two episodes, Suggested Follow-Ups and Assistant. With that, here's my conversation with Millie. So recently we went live with four AI features, Suggested Summaries, Related Incidents, Suggested Follow-Ups, and Assistant. And a few weeks ago, I sat down with Isaac and Rob to focus in on Related Incidents and everything that came with that project. So today I'm here with Millie to talk about Suggested Summaries. So Millie, let's just get right into it. Can you start out by giving us a bit of background about who you are and what you do here at Incident.io?
Sure. Yeah, I've been a product engineer at Incident.io for nearly 2 years. And before that, my background was in machine learning and sort of computer vision and predicting fraud. And that was all fun, but I am now purely just a software engineer. I've left the AI scene behind until this project, and then it came back.
Gotcha. And just out of curiosity, what was that transition like for you? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like what you're doing now with product engineering and what you were doing before with machine learning are radically different.
Yeah. The reason I wanted to change is because with machine learning, I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, but it is throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks. It's very trial and error. And I found that frustrating at times, but the parts of my job I really loved were the like building engineering infrastructure that's like reliable and insightful. And so that's why I wanted to switch into a more pure software engineering role. But I have loved it. It is so satisfying, like doing engineering tickets and building features that people love. It's very different to training machine learning models and hoping they'll get better.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into this idea of just throwing things at a wall and seeing what sticks, because I feel like that's been a common theme throughout the conversations that I've had around these AI features. But like I said at the beginning, we're here to talk about suggested summaries. So for people who may not be up to speed on what exactly those are, can you give us a bit of background on what they're all about?
Cool. So when you're in an incident, there's lots of things that could be happening. People could be talking in the channel. People could be providing updates, which is like sort of a sentence about what people are doing right now. And one thing that's really useful if you're a newcomer to an incident is looking at the summary. The summary should tell you exactly what the problem is and what people have done to resolve it. And it basically means you don't have to look through the whole Slack channel to get up to speed. We wanted to use AI to automatically update the summary in an incident really regularly, because we found that when an incident was getting declared, the summary would be set and it would normally just be a sentence to say what the problem is. And it would only get updated when the incident gets closed. Sort of when responders are in the thick of it trying to fix the problem, the last thing that they think of doing is updating the summary. But actually, it's really helpful for newcomers. So we wanted to come up with a way of making sure summaries are always up to date, but without causing too much noise and friction, basically.
And as someone who's responded to incidents in the past, like you just said, a summary is like the source of truth, especially for people who are just jumping in, you know, at a moment's notice. So why do you think people aren't as inclined to update it more frequently? Is it the fact that they're obviously focused on resolving the incident? It could be something else. Just like curious about your perspective there.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's because incidents are just quite stressful places. I mean, every incident has a lead. They're normally responsible for doing communication. And I guess that includes keeping the summary up to date. but sometimes things can be so hectic that you might forget. I believe we do have like nudges in our product that's like, hey, do you want to update the summary? And they're really good as like a reminder that it's not been done, basically. But what would be even more helpful is to come up with a summary that's like 80% of the way there. And they can just sort of read and be like, yeah, perfect. I'm going to add one thing and then accept it.
Gotcha. So I'd love to get into the actual project. So when I was speaking with Isaac and Rob about related incidents on the last episode of The Debrief, one of the things that they mentioned was that that project was very different from other projects that we typically run here at Incident. So usually you have a group of product engineers coming together to work on a specific project and they ship it. Obviously, there's some iteration after the fact, but basically it's a time block. You work on the project, you ship it out, and then you move on to the next one. But the theme of these AI projects have been you work on the project, see if it works, see if the results that you're getting are good enough, then you go back to the drawing board, so on and so forth, repeat the process. So I'm curious, was this suggested summaries project like that? Was it similar in that you're sort of rinsing and repeating, throwing things at the wall to see if they stick, like you said at the beginning, or was it a bit more like your traditional project and how those run here at Incident?
Yeah, so suggested summaries was the first AI project we did, and we definitely experienced the same problems that happened in related incidents where we came up with a version one really quick. We basically could suggest a summary mid-incident and it was sort of like, okay. But when we rolled it out to ourselves, so we were using it in production and some of our early access customers, we had loads of feedback and loads of examples about of places where AI got it really right and really wrong. And so, I mean, normally in other projects, we would sort of have that first version, ship it out to everyone, and then maybe come back and improve it, in 6 months' time. For this, we weren't ready to ship it to everyone yet because we had so many tweaks to do. So we did have a sort of like on, then off, then on period. Yeah. The first on being when we build the first version, and then we had maybe 2 weeks where we were collating the feedback, trying to work out what we could change to make our responses better. And then the last period being where we were implementing those changes. So yeah, I think that comes with a bit of frustration for us because it feels like you're in limbo, you're not quite there yet. And I think the rest of the company, because people aren't used to projects working like that. So we had to be really clear about our communications, and we've kind of realized that with AI projects, this is just something we're going to have to do going forward. We're going to have a period of like rolling out to a few customers, making it better, and then launching to everyone.
Would you be able to talk through how exactly the team was split up? Like, I can imagine with a project like this, you know, you have very specific roles for each person and each of them are working on a very particular aspect of the project. So how was the team split up? What was your role and how was everybody else distributed?
Yeah, so there was three of us. There was normally about three of us in total. But to start with, there was myself who was leading, another engineer and our data product analyst. And well, I suppose I should recap on how we actually started doing this project in the first place. So Data originally had a hackathon, our data team, and they'd basically written this prompt that we could give to GPT with all of the incident data, and it would return something sensible for a summary. And so we had Data on our team sort of supplying this prompt and explaining why it was the way it is. And Data was also responsible for having a look at how customers use summaries at the moment. So when we were deciding the best way to suggest a summary, because that could be materialized in a few ways, you don't really want to be interrupted when you're mid-flow in the incident. So we were trying to work out the best point to update a summary. So Data was really helpful for that. But me as a lead, I was responsible for doing the communication for the rest of the company and more sort of like the admin tasks. Anything that was urgent and needed doing instantly, I would do it, which made my role a bit more bittier. But that was good because it meant the other engineer could stay heads down on something else, which is good because when it comes to improving the prompt, you do need uninterrupted periods of time to bash your head against a wall and try lots of different things. So that was sort of how it was split between the three of us.
I love that you mentioned like bashing your head against the wall because, and just to take a step back, I asked this in my other conversation with folks who worked on these AI projects that given the uncertainty around AI, I can imagine that it's really, really difficult to figure out ultimately what your ideal state looks like because things are so fluid, things are changing all the time. There's so many variables outside of your control compared to other sort of, again, traditional engineering projects. So how exactly did you guys align on what good would look like or what good enough to ship would look like? And like, what was sort of your North Star for this project, given that there were so many things outside of you and your team's control?
Yeah, so we had a success metric that we wanted to improve, which was the number of summaries per incident, quite a basic one. We just wanted to make sure that summaries were like always up to date and super fresh and helpful. But how we got to that metric and how we decided what to build, we did some whiteboarding at the very beginning, us three, and we came up with an idea of how the summaries should manifest and all the other details. And then we went away and wrote a product spec, which is quite common for most projects that we run. And the product spec basically has some mock-ups and just describes how the feature is going to feel. And then we sent that around to the rest of the company and got some feedback from other engineers, founders, things like that. Normally, when you release a product spec for everyone else to look at, there's like a few suggestions. But this one was quite polarizing. So doing that work up front was really valuable. In this case, the first idea we had was to automatically update the summary straight away. So whenever an update has happened or when the incident changes, we thought we'll just update the summary. And I think a lot of us liked that idea because summaries are really stale as it is. And maybe a summary that had some inaccuracies would be better than a stale summary. So that was the first product spec that went out. But some of our founders had made some very good points about AI features in other products and how when you see a bad suggestion and it sort of messes up what you were doing, your knee-jerk reaction is to be like, no, I don't want AI anymore. That was terrible. So we took a more conservative route, which is when someone posts an incident update. So they've taken time out fixing the incident and they've just sort of written a sentence about what's happening right now. That's the time we will message them effectively and say, here's what we think a new summary is based on your update. Would you like to accept it? And I think it's so much better now doing that. I know I'm biased because I only see it in action this way, but I agree. I think we could have had some burnt fingers by going with the initial approach.
Gotcha. And you mentioned that it was polarizing. Why do you think that was? Was it just that everybody had a different vision of what this project could ultimately look like? Like maybe some people thought, yeah, we should be a little bit more conservative. And I think it was Ed or Charlie that mentioned this in my conversation with them, where we sort of announced this to the world that we wanted our AI features to feel like a gentle hand on your back as opposed to something that's pushing you in a certain direction. So did we have people who were sort of dead set on that? Did we have people who wanted a more aggressive approach with AI that was like really steering you in a certain direction? But yeah, I'm just like curious why you thought it was so polarizing.
Yeah, I think it was probably so polarizing because this was the first AI feature. So everyone had opinions and they had strong opinions. And people that are more pro AI were like, I want the AI to do it for me. I want to have full trust in the AI. And then there were people that were already quite cautious about AI that wanted the more conservative approach. I think it's probably the first time we've had a project like that where people have had such strong feelings, but that's probably because, yeah, AI was completely new.
I actually love that you mentioned this word new and said that AI was so new because that's true. AI is really new. And when we started building out these AI features, my first question was like, this is going to be really, really difficult because the technology behind AI and prompt engineering and everything that comes with it is new. And I can imagine as a product engineer learning the ropes of something like prompt engineering and AI while building out a feature whose foundation is prompt engineering and AI can be really, really challenging. So what was it like building out a feature where you're both learning how to work with this new technology while also building a feature that incorporates this new technology?
Yeah. So this was a bit different in some of our other projects, because normally the technical parts are the hardest bits in other projects, whereas in this project, the technical parts were really easy. We just basically had to call OpenAI's API and then sort of like do some plumbing to get that response into Slack. It was super straightforward. The hard bits that were very new to everyone was the prompt engineering, and that's new to like the whole of the internet as well. So we read quite a few guides online. We read other companies' blogs about how they wrote their prompts and like the problems they faced. But honestly, loads of tips out there didn't work for us. I can't remember some of the names of the fancy prompts you could come up with. Maybe it's like one shot or something, but we tried all the techniques out there and we weren't getting much better results. There was like one or two things that really helped. So we didn't learn that much from other people, basically. I think we did just have to try, and we had to try a lot. And one thing that helped with trying a lot was building some tools to help us evaluate whether our prompt is getting better. Because I think when we first started out, we were trying to improve the prompt, but in our development environment, how it works is you create like a fake incident, and then I might have to create some fake messages and then create a fake update, and then I would ask AI to come up with something sensible. Fake data is not really that helpful, and it's also a bit of a faff to come up with the fake data there. So we spent some time building a tool, which means that engineers that are trying to improve the prompt in their like local development environment can just use like real incident data. So incident data that is ours, not our customers, but incident data that we've approved would be a good sort of test case for OpenAI. I think there's more. I wrote sort of a blog on this topic if anyone's interested, but we've got some code snippets in there and yeah, some more examples about how it's useful. But highly recommend investing in tools if anyone has to go down the same route as us.
Yeah, I actually have two questions that I'd like to ask off the back of what you just said. What do you think it is about prompt engineering that's so difficult and challenging? And sort of the second question there is, why do you think the sort of popular advice that was out there on these blogs and, you know, and whatnot around prompt engineering, why do you think those didn't work out for us?
Yeah, so the reason it's so hard is because it's trial and error. Normally, when engineers are faced with a problem, there's like a logical answer and there's like a logical thing you can change to make it better. Yeah. With prompt engineering, it's science and art. So there's maybe some things you can try and there's maybe like a vague direction you can go in. But honestly, it's like the really small differences that seem to make a huge, small changes that make a huge difference to your results, frustratingly. So that was the tricky bit. It's also just not very fun. It's very frustrating trying to make the AI say particular things or avoid saying particular things when you're just doing trial and error and trying lots of different things. It's very frustrating. And your second question, my gut feeling is that it probably works for certain situations. I mean, maybe if those guides had some like practical examples alongside them where you could see how using that technique like drastically improved the results of one type of prompt. But for us, yeah, it didn't seem to help.
One of the things that I know that we're really good at and consistent about is working with design partners when it comes to projects like these. So how did our design partners factor into this suggested summaries project? I know earlier you mentioned that we got a bunch of feedback from folks. So I'd love for you to just talk through how our design partners factored into this conversation. And also, did we lean on them a bit more with this project, given sort of the uncertainties around AI and like the fact that we're trying this brand new thing? Or was it more sort of business as usual?
Yeah, I think their feedback was really important because we obviously rolled it out to ourselves. So any incidents that we have as a company, people were seeing summary suggestions. But people at our company are very biased. They're super excited to see AI come and suggest something, and people are really positive. But when it gets rolled out in another company who don't really know about us that much, they are super brutal. It's like good, brutally honest about why something's not helpful, or, you know, when things don't make sense. So their feedback was more valuable than internal feedback that we got. And luckily, I think we rolled out to maybe two to start with, and we have a really good relationship with those design partners anyway. So they came, they sort of drew their own sort of themes in the feedback, as well as us doing that as well. So they really cared about the suggestions and they wanted to make them better. So we couldn't have done it without them, to be honest. I think if it was just us evaluating, we would have got better results, but probably not polished them as good enough as the design partners made us get there, to be honest.
And out of curiosity, were there any like common themes that kept popping up in this feedback that we were getting from customers?
Yeah, there was like a few really frustrating problems. Our summaries, the ones that AI suggests, is broken down into problem, impact, causes, and the steps to resolve. Mm-hmm. And that's a really like logical structure to work with. But if you're in a newly declared incident and you've literally just, there's been about five messages and you've done one update to say what's happening, and our AI tries to suggest a summary, the impact might not be known, the causes might not be known, and there haven't been any steps to resolve yet. But we would find that the AI was sort of making its own suggestions up for what the impact might be or how we could resolve it. And so it was very difficult to get it to return nothing for those fields. Eventually we got there, but that was probably one of the worst bugs we had.
Well, I'd love to know how this actually comes together behind the scenes. Could you talk us through, sort of from start to finish, how this all works on the back end?
Cool. So technically it's in two parts, the code for this. There's one part which is like the foundations of talking to OpenAI. So we spent some time before this project doing some upfront investment to make sure that we can call OpenAI's API and we will only ever send data for a customer that's like opted in to having OpenAI features, and that we will always sort of store how long the model took and things like that. So we have this sort of bunch of code which is responsible for taking a prompt and calling OpenAI and doing all the sort of admin of that. And so that's shared code you can use for any of our AI products, which related incidents and all of that use as well. The code that's specific to this project is just sort of some plumbing around the prompt. So whenever you provide an update in an incident, we have a consumer which will listen to that event and it will build the prompt, which is basically a big sort of message. It's a message that starts with something like generate an incident summary and then all the incident data. Well, it's quite a bit more complex than that. And so once it's built the prompt, we will basically use the shared code to call OpenAI, get the response back, and then the project code basically post it to Slack. So it's super simple. There was nothing that was like really complex or challenging in this project. The hard bit and the interesting bit is the prompt. That's where all the like logic is.
It's always so fascinating to hear how this stuff like actually works, because obviously from my perspective, I just see the finished product. So I always get really excited when I speak to one of our product engineers like yourself to learn exactly sort of what the inner workings are of these really impactful features that we're shipping. But anyway, I'd love to end on you sort of pitching why this is important. So I can imagine, as you know, like there are a lot of people out there who are going to be very, very skeptical of anything with the word AI attached to it. So I'd love for you to sort of speak to those people. What exactly are people going to get out of suggested summaries, and what's the value that they're going to sort of get from that?
I think the probably main answer to this is that it's a time saver. So yeah, if you are leading an incident, it takes quite a bit of time to update the summary. And we could basically give you that time back. Second of all, when you have new people joining the incident, trying to work out if it affects them or how they can help. Having a summary that's already fresh saves them a lot of time because they don't have to go through the channel and work out what's happened themselves. And also, I think the format of the summary is really handy. If you have all your incidents in the same format, problem, impact, blah, 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 you can just basically scan through the impacts. If you want to look at, say, the causes across all incidents, it's very easy to just pick out the point that you're interested in. So yeah, I really don't see any downsides to using it. I think it's a great feature and yeah, we've had fantastic usage so far.
On that note, I will say that, you know, we have customer feedback and compliments Slack channels here internally. And it's been really great to see this like constant stream of, oh my God, this feature is life-changing. Oh my God, this is so helpful. In the very, very short time that these features have been around, it's been like, what, 2 weeks at this point? But yeah, it's been really, really, really great to see. And I hope that if listeners, you know, aren't using this already, that they start to do so ASAP, because it's really, really obvious based on the feedback that, you know, folks are getting great results from these suggested summaries.
Massively. I also think it's like the tip of everything we could do with AI. If we can generate a really good summary, why can't we generate the whole post-mortem? Like, I am pumped when we get around to doing that.
I mean, you heard it here first. There it is.